Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday afternoon. I know most of you are probably watching football right now instead of listening to college radio. But you know what, football fans? I don't even want you listening to my show, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Please listen. We're almost there, guys. Training camp for the NBA is about to start, and literally nobody is as excited as I am because I am a Laker fan, and I think it's pretty obvious that that the Lakers have the most exciting training camp coming up. And I say that because they just got one of the best players in the world, the best player in the world, LeBron James. So Luke Walton and the whole Lakers coaching staff just have to figure out their lineups and figure out how the minutes distribution is going to go. And this is definitely something that has caused a lot of conversation between Laker fans, probably because it's the only thing to talk about with not much news happening in the latter part of the offseason. But I kind of wanted to start a new thing on the show where I kind of bring things I write. So one of my inspirations for podcasting, writing, everything is Zach Lowe. And what Zach Lowe will usually do, and if you don't know who he is, I highly, highly recommend you go out and read some of his works. In my mind, the best analyst of basketball ever. Honestly, ever. But I might be biased because I'm a fanboy. But anyways, what he will do is whenever he writes a big piece for ESPN or whatever, he'll usually do a podcast about it. Or if somebody else writes a big article, he'll have them on to talk about their article. So for me, obviously, I'm not a nationally recognized ESPN writer, but I do have a blog, and it's a blog that I would highly recommend you guys read. It's called pagstandard.com, purpleandgoldstandard.com, of course, pagstandard.com. Anyways, so my last blog post was basically about some of my favorite lineups that I'm looking forward to seeing this year. And one of the in terms of the starters, I'm pretty confident, even though Rob Pelinka came out and said the only spot up that's set in the starting lineup, I think it was Rob Pelinka, but the only spot that's the only person who for sure has a starting spot is LeBron James. Now, in my opinion, and I don't think it's a very, controversial opinion, I think the starting lineup's going to end up being Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Brandon Ingram, LeBron James, JaVale McGee. I think the point of contention with that some people could find is the difference between Josh Hart and KCP. But the reason I say KCP is the Lakers offered him $12 million, and believe it or not, contracts do make a difference. Maybe later in the season, if Hart is obviously outplaying KCP, sure. But to start the season, you don't pay someone, I think what Josh Hart's making like $3 million, so like you don't pay someone four times as much as their reserve, and then not start them, or four times as much as the person behind them, and then not start them. So yeah, that's I think is the starting lineup. But here are four lineups I'm really looking forward to seeing, and again, you can find this blog post on pagstandard.com, and let's just take a look. So the first lineup I had, I'm going to nickname the Targaryens. And for anyone who doesn't know me, I am a huge Game of Thrones fan. Books, show, podcasts, anything about Game of Thrones, I'm in on. And if you don't watch Game of Thrones, it's basically about a bunch of families who are trying to take over, or who are trying to, keep their power, gain their power. Basically, their whole struggle with power in a kingdom called Westeros. Now, the Targaryens were the family that ruled Westeros for like 300 years, I believe, before they were killed by, or before a rebellion led by Robert Baratheon came, kicked them out, and they're out. And I kind of look at the Lakers like that. The Lakers have been so dominant of the league for so long. They're kind of like an old school dynasty. Sure, Boston Celtics fans can say, we won more championships, we were a dynasty. But guess what? Nobody cares about you, Boston. And if you weren't a team anymore, the world would be a better place. Anyways, the Lakers I see as the old dynasty that is in shambles now. Obviously, we haven't made the playoffs in 5 years. And now that we have LeBron, we have our Daenerys, like, we have a squad that can really take over the league. And in my post, I write that most likely we're getting another free agent, either free agent or trading for another star. But let's say we don't. I truly believe that if all our young guys hit and hit hard, like hit their potential, we have a chance to beat the Warriors just straight up on our own talent. If all four of our young guys that I'm gonna name in this lineup hit their max potential. So this lineup I have being Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and LeBron James at center. And the reason I have these is the four guys, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma, these are the guys that whenever the Lakers are potentially trading someone, or for example, when we were trying to get Kawhi Leonard, everyone's been wondering, like, oh, should we trade this guy? Should we keep this guy? This guy's good. No, this guy's good. All four of them have amazing potential. And maybe call it the pessimist in me. I don't think all four are going to hit just because in the NBA, rarely do people reach their max potential. But with these four guys, they're already special, like in terms of how young they are and how talented they are. And I'm just really excited to see that lineup because these are four guys, along with LeBron James, that I can see being a part of our future, whether they come off the bench, whether they start alongside LeBron in the next star we get. These are guys that I think if we're gonna win a championship, we need them to be good. So there's my Targaryen lineup. The next one I have is the Sun Tzu lineup. And for those of you who don't know, Sun Tzu was a 5th century BCE Chinese general, wrote the book, basically the book on warfare called The Art of War. And he's basically known as a master tactician. A lot of his tips and things from his books are even taught today. And I know a lot of military academies have The Art of War as a required reading for officers. So for the Sun Tzu lineup, I have Rajon Rondo, I guess we'll find out, Lonzo Ball, Lance Stephenson, Brandon Ingram, and once again, LeBron James at the center. And the reason why I like this so much is every single guy is a playmaker. So Rajon Rondo and Lonzo Ball, obviously Rondo is 33 years old, Lonzo Ball is like 20 years old, so big age difference, but both guys known for their high IQ as a point guard. And neither of them are necessarily scorers. Both of them, their mentality is on, or at least on offense, is create the best shot. So these are two guys that they're always looking, like Lonzo Ball, Bill Simmons always says, the second he gets the ball, he's looking for the best pass. And Rondo has even been accused of kind of being a stat hunter and only looking for assists. But I think nobody can really question his basketball IQ and just how good of a playmaker he is. Lance Stephenson, I'm putting him at the three in this lineup. He's someone who also, as soon as he gets a rebound, he's going with it. And although he has a lot of ups and downs, and he's almost primarily only been good in, what's it called, Indiana, with the Pacers, when he's on, he is able to be a solid playmaker. And at power forward, we got Brandon Ingram, who last year when Lonzo Ball was hurt, which was really weird because we had Tyler Ennis as his backup, but Luke Walton seemed to want to play Brandon Ingram at the one more so than Lonzo Ball. Was this just him picking the best point guard, or was this him thinking towards the future? I think it's the latter. Because now you have Brandon Ingram, you can put him almost anywhere in any position, and now he has experience as an NBA point guard and playmaker. And then obviously LeBron at the five, he is one of the greatest passers of all time. So literally all five of these guys, if they get a rebound, they're running with it. If it breaks down to a half-court offense, they know what plays to make, what's the best pass to make. All of them can dribble, all of them can pass, all of them are good playmakers. Stephenson obviously has to have his head on a swivel for that to happen, but this is a very smart lineup that I think will just give defenses fits. Now, here's the lineup. I did not come up with the name, but as soon as I heard it, I loved it. And obviously, with the Lakers, four signings after LeBron, in terms of Rondo, Stevenson, Beasley, and McGee, All four of these guys, they're veterans, but they have the reputation for, I don't want to say head case, but head case. Maybe they've had problems in their locker room. Maybe they have feuded with coaches, or maybe they're just quirky guys. But one thing that I like about this lineup in terms of, and the lineup, sorry, maybe I should say it would be Rondo, Stevenson, Beasley, James, and McGee. And this is the Suicide Squad lineup. And with this lineup, and if you haven't seen the movie, the Suicide Squad is just a bunch of zany characters, crazy characters that are all bad guys, and they're basically out to fight this monster. In this example, the monster is obviously the Golden State Warriors. It's something that, I don't know, nobody can beat them, so maybe we gotta send a Suicide Squad for them. And the reason why I like this lineup is 1 through 5, this is a team that will not be afraid to stand toe to toe with the Warriors. And as a Rocky fan myself, sometimes you don't need more talent. Sometimes you just need more heart. Like Rocky in Rocky One, he didn't want to necessarily beat Apollo. He just wanted to be standing when the final bell rang. He wanted to go toe to toe with someone, look him in the eye, and just give it his all. And this is a lineup that I think would have a lot of heart and very little fear of the Warriors. And I'll go through why. Starting with Rondo. Rondo, as the point guard for the Pelicans, they faced off against the Warriors in the first round. And Rondo was fearless, man. Like he really believed he could beat the Warriors, whether it's because he broke down all the film or whatever. And he kind of brought this alpha mentality to a young and maybe unprepared team like the Pelicans. And there's even a funny picture that I have in the post of Rondo like going at Draymond Green. And Draymond Green obviously is the emotional heart of the Warriors. So you go after him, you could try to phase him. And he's kind of a scary guy for Rondo, who's like 6'1". I think Draymond Green's like 6'9", a thick guy, strong guy. And Rondo's just going toe to toe with him, and they almost fought. And I always like it when the smaller guys try to fight the bigger guys. Sure, it's kind of like Napoleon syndrome or little man syndrome, but I like that. And then the next guy on that list is Lance Stevenson, who Lance Stevenson is nuts. Like, sorry, not nuts, but he's very quirky on the basketball court. He's untied people's shoes. He's blown in LeBron James's ear. He's turned down a lot of money because he just thinks he deserves way more. And he's a guy who's just fearless. And I really like that about him. And he's also an agitator. And if the Lakers are facing the Warriors, and you can get Lance Stevenson and Draymond Green to fight and both get kicked out of the game. Obviously, I don't condone violence, but if Draymond Green's going to be out there flailing and kicking, let's have one of our own guys. Let's have our own version of the Bash Bros to go after him. Then at the 3, Michael Beasley. Beasley is another guy. He's famously said, "I'm your favorite player's favorite player." And the reason I love this guy, he is talented. He has been kind of weird before, like in terms of there's a clip of him rubbing another person's knee thinking it was his. He's a pretty unique guy. And I think he has the reputation for not believing in science or something like that. But anyways, Beasley truly believes he's an elite player. And you hear that in the quotes. And when you're facing off against a Kevin Durant, a Klay Thompson, a Steph Curry, a Draymond Green, you need a guy who thinks he's on par with them. And even though he's not, I'm not saying he is, but that mentality, it's this lineup's mentality that I'm focused on. Then at the 4, you have LeBron James, who has faced the Warriors so many times. I think he's just numb to the Warriors. I think he knows the inside out of the team, but he just has never had other than the year they won, obviously. After that, he hasn't had the talent to kind of implement his idea. So that's why a lot of times in the past 2 championships, he's tried to play hero ball and do everything himself because he just didn't have the talent to beat the Warriors, even though he may have known how to. And then obviously at the center, we have JaVale McGee, who was a part of the Warriors for a while. So he knows the inside outs of them. He's played with these guys. He knows them personally and was friends with them on a personal level. So once you know someone personally, that fear is kind of out. So the Suicide Squad lineup is just one I really like to face off against the Warriors, just as a kind of a fearless team. I think a lot of teams are afraid of the Warriors, and I really like the idea of the Lakers having a lineup that wouldn't be. Now, the last of the four lineups that I talked about is the Refrigerator Crew. And the reason I call them the Refrigerator Crew is Chick Hearn, rest in peace, in my opinion, the greatest NBA announcer of all time. And then I haven't listened to enough announcers from other sports, but he's got to at least be top 10 in all sports all time. But he used to come up with these catchphrases. And one of the catchphrases that he has is, well, like, the game is in the refrigerator. He'd be like, the Dijon is in the fridge, or the things are in the Tupperware. Like, he'd just go on and on about basically making refrigerator analogies, because the game, whether the Lakers were far ahead or far behind, it was just in the refrigerator. It was done. The meal is over. The leftovers are in the fridge. Let's just go home. But you obviously still have to play it out. Now, when the Lakers are up or down by a lot of points, they're usually going to send in their garbage lineup, their kind of garbage time lineup, the guys who usually don't get that many minutes. And in this lineup, or the guys, sorry, the guys who don't get that many minutes, or the guys who kind of need development. Now, in this lineup, I have Alex Caruso, Josh Hart, Svi Mykhailiuk, Mo Wagner, and Ivica Zubac. Now, Alex Caruso is a two-way contract, and a lot of the other guys, especially Svi and Mo, are probably going to be on the South Bay Lakers for a lot of the time, the G League team. They're probably going to be in and out of the lineup between G League and NBA kind of to get their reps. So the chances of this lineup specifically playing together is pretty low. But all five of them are players that I think, whenever we can give them minutes in a time where maybe we want to rest our starters or not play someone as many minutes, these are the guys who should go. Now, Alex Caruso is one of my favorite guys, I have to admit, because he is, I think, like 24, and he's balding. But hey, I'm balding as well, so it's nice to have a man with the same follicular hair troubles that I have. I don't know if that makes sense, but kind of a guy going through the same thing I have and exceeding, like, doing well in the NBA. And I like his game too. He's a guy who has his head on a swivel. He's a great hustle guy, plays strong defense. Like him a lot, and hope we can get him minutes, even though he's on a two-way, might not be on the team for much longer. I like him a lot. Josh Hart is another guy. He honestly could be starting. But I think since we have KCP and Lance Stephenson, more veteran guys, they might take minutes away from him. And Josh Hart had a very strong summer league, and Josh Hart is here to stay. He's a great player, and he's someone that I think, as a bench option or even as a starter one day, great 3-and-D guy. And I want him to get as many reps as possible. Now, at the three in this lineup, we got Mykhailiuk. He was our, I want to say, second round pick this year. And this guy is like 6'8". His wingspan's not that great, but he's 6'8" and a sharpshooter. Arguably the best shooter we have on this team. I really, really like Svi. But the problem is, Svi is young, and he did well in Summer League, but Summer League is very different than the NBA. So while I think he will be a rotation player soon, I don't know if this is the season to do it. And I don't know if he's gonna get the minutes that I think he needs to develop as much. So I anticipate him being in the G League a good amount of time. If he hits his full potential, he'll be in the rotation 100% this season. But I just don't know if that'll happen now. But whenever we have time to give him, let's give him playing time. Then we have the Lakers' first round choice, Mo Wagner. He's more of a five, but I kind of put him at the four, kind of to make this work. So I don't know if him and Ivica Zubac will play together much. But what I really like about Mo is he is a big man, solid rebounder, but can stretch the floor. And Zubac was supposed to be that stretch the floor guy, but Mo Wagner does that at a higher percentage and seems to be ready to be an NBA 3-point shooter. So if he can get that shot going down maybe 35%, I mean, that's as much as Brook Lopez, and if you can rebound and defend a little better than Brolo, fantastic. We don't necessarily need him to be a very strong offensive option. Then at the five, we obviously got Ivica Zubac. Now, a lot of people are thinking he's going to get a lot of minutes, And I have to admit, I don't know what the center rotation is going to look like. I think it's going to be JaVale McGee is going to start, but not play that many minutes. And I do believe that LeBron James is going to play five a lot. So will Zubats be that third center? Will he be the second center that plays splits his minutes with LeBron James? Or will he just not play that much? And he was someone who came out strong. In his first summer league, he was a very strong player, but he hasn't really been able to find his legs in the NBA yet. Like, on the top of my head, I cannot think of a time where he played a really solid NBA game. He's been doing well in the G League, has played well in the Summer League, but I don't know. And he's entering into his third year, and this is the time when players are supposed to make their biggest leaps. And although I really, really like him, if he doesn't come out strong this year, I don't see the Lakers seeing him as a rotational option. And if halfway through the season, the Lakers just say, listen, this guy's not a part of our future, he's not going to play anymore. And maybe Michael Beasley takes his minutes at center, or Kyle Kuzma takes his minutes at center. So he's someone that I think will get a lot of run in garbage time just so that the Lakers can see what they have on their hands. So yeah, that was my blog post. Those are some of the four lineups that A, I was able to make up a nickname for, and B, I am really looking forward to seeing this year. Now I'm gonna give myself a little bit, well, myself and you guys, a little bit of a break from talking, or you guys having to listen to me talk. So I'm gonna play some music, and the playlist I'm gonna play from this week is one that I made called Songs for Someone I excuse me, Songs for Someone I Used to Know. So I hope you enjoy these songs, and I will be back very soon.
was wondering about your mama. Did she get that job she wanted? So that car that gave her problems, I'm just curious but I'm honest. Though you're wondering why I've been calling, like I got ulterior motives. Though we didn't end this so good, but you know we had something so good. I'm wondering, can we still be friends? Can we still be friends? Doesn't have to end. And if it ends, can we be friends? If you got a body to hold you tight since I left, since I left. Wondering if you think about me. Actually, don't answer that. Though you're wondering why I've been calling, like I got ulterior motives. Though we didn't end this so good, but you know we had something so good. I'm wondering, can we still be friends? Can we still be friends? Doesn't have to end. And if it ends, can we be friends? I've been calling, like I got ulterior motives. No, we didn't end this so good, but you know we had something so good. I'm wondering, can we still be friends? Can we still be friends? Doesn't have to.
I put that record on. Girl, you know what's on. And I let it play again and again. You're in every line. Takes me back in time. Yeah, tonight I'm wondering, what are you listening to? Is it a cover band in some college town bar where it's not on and their guitars? Or is it something to get you through? Just a sad song playing on the radio station. Tears still falling, hearts still breaking, cause you're hanging on. Or is it a love song about someone new? What are you listening to? I'd like to believe that you're just like me, trying to figure out how a good thing goes bad. I don't know, and I can't let it go. Down bar where it's 99 and their guitars. Or is it just a sad song playing on the radio station. Tears still falling, heart still breaking, 'cause you're hanging on. Or is it a love song about someone new? What do you listen to? Is it a feel-good song that you're driving too fast? One that gets you moving on past the past? Or the kind that you can't help singing along? Singing, whoa, whoa. If it's headphones on a downtown train, or the wind asleep on an outbound plane, is it a song that your Memphis knew? I wish I knew, I wish I knew. What are you listening to? Is it a cover band in some college town bar where it's 9-9-9 and a guitar? Is it something to get you through? Just a sad song playing on the radio station. Tears still falling, heart still breaking, 'cause you're hanging on. Or is it a love song about someone new? What are you listening to? I put that record on. Girl, you know what song. And I let it play again and again.
Hopefully that works now. All right, let's try to get back on track. Sorry about that. The mic kind of got loose in the holster thing, and now hopefully it'll keep working. Anyways, that was Chris Stapleton's "What Are You Listening To?" And that's definitely a song that that I've been listening to a lot. So if you were wondering what Pasha is listening to, it is that song. So before we start anything, just want to let you guys know you're listening to KXSC Los Angeles. You can listen to us online at kxsc.org, on the airwaves at 1560 AM, and on your smartphone with the TuneIn Radio app. And we are a service of the University of Southern California, otherwise known as USC. So yeah, before the main headline of the NBA, obviously other than training camps opening, is Jimmy Butler. So Tom Thibodeau has been the coach and general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves for 2 years, I believe now. He has a reputation of just overplaying his players. 35 plus minutes, 40 minutes for some players. A lot of his old players have been hurt. And he kind of is the, I want gritty guys, I want defenders, all that stuff. And apparently in Minnesota, there has been a huge divide between the older players and the younger players, specifically Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns versus Jimmy Butler. And there have just been rumors that Karl Anthony Towns does not want to play with Jimmy Butler anymore. Jimmy Butler feels the same way towards Karl Anthony Towns. And Tom Thibodeau went to meet with Jimmy Butler. And it seems that Butler demanded a trade, and soon after Butler demanded the trade, the Timberwolves offered Karl Anthony Towns a 5-year, $190 million extension, which averages out to $38 million a year. So huge. Like, Cat is the future for them. And so it seems like Jimmy Butler is out. And there was a Board of Governors meeting, and the Board of Governors meeting in the NBA is when all the owners get together and vote on just different things. This year they did 3 different rules changes. And apparently the owner of the Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, is telling everyone Butts is out. Sorry, Jimmy Butts is out. And Tom Thibodeau and his GM. So Tom Thibodeau is the president of basketball operation and coach, and his GM is Scott Layden. And apparently they have been shutting down anyone calling about Jimmy Butler for the last, like, for the last season and a half. And now you have the owner, Glenn Taylor, telling people, were trading him, and he apparently came back and told the whole front office, I want all hands on deck. I want Jimmy Butler out of here as soon as possible. So right now, the Timberwolves are on their full court press trying to trade Jimmy Butler before the start of training camp, which is tomorrow. So my guess is either tonight, and I just checked Twitter, he hasn't been traded yet, but either tonight or tomorrow morning, Jimmy Butts is out of there. And so when Jimmy Butler first demanded the trade, there were three teams he said he wanted to go to, and those three teams were the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Nets. And since the trade demand, there have been a list of suitors, and I'm going to list off all the suitors. It's the Nets, the Pistons, the Rockets, the Clippers, Miami, Philly, Portland, and Cleveland. Now, the Knicks really don't have much to offer, and it doesn't seem like they're even trying to push for Jimmy Butler right now. So I'm going to start just talking about the Clippers and the Nets, because those are the two teams that Butler said he wants to go to. And they're two teams that are on the potential trade, the suitors list. And the reason why it's important for why the fact of where does Jimmy Butler want to go to is important is because next year he has a player option on his contract, which he's likely going to decline and become an unrestricted free agent next year. So if you're going to trade for Jimmy Butler, there's that small chance that he leaves. And the fact that he said he wants to go to the Clippers and the Nets kind of shows that they have the best chance of keeping him. So let's start with the Clippers. And I know in the past I have made fun of the Clippers, obviously called them the second team in LA, they're a joke, whatever. I gotta say, I am very impressed with them lately. They've been hiring solid people. Lee Jenkins, one of the best basketball journalists out there, in my opinion, just got hired there. He has a great podcast on the Woj Pod. I would highly recommend you go listen to that. But basically, the whole culture of the Clippers is their owner, Steve Ballmer, is going out and getting the top minds in different fields of the sport. So he's getting like journalists, he's getting medical staffs, he's got Jerry West, who's kind of the, I don't know, kind of like a grandfather of the league, but just always makes solid choices. And through the offseason, people have been making fun of them in terms of they have like 18 guards on their roster. And for those of you who don't know, in terms of guaranteed contracts, or in terms of players on a roster you can have during the season, the max is 15. 12 that are in games, like on the bench, on the court, and then 3 on your injury reserve list. And during the preseason, usually teams will sign up to 20 people. They'll sign them to what's called a camp deal. And they'll dwindle their roster down to 15. And usually those camp deals aren't guaranteed money. Now, the Clippers are in a situation where they have 17 players with guaranteed contracts. Now, they did have 16, and they had a guard, I want to say Tyrone Wallace, his last name is Wallace, but he's a young up-and-coming guard, and he was a restricted free agent, and the Pelicans actually signed him, and the Clippers matched. And everyone was like, what the hell? Like, you have 16 players guaranteed already, now you have 17 players guaranteed, and you have to go into the season with 15. And I think this was a major, like, I think the front office knew, like, listen, we're going to have a chance to make a trade in this offseason. Almost every year, towards the beginning of the year, there's a disgruntled star. And they made a major bet, and let me tell you, it paid off. So the Clippers are in a position where they have an excess of talent. Like, they can just give away. Like, they could add someone talented as a giveaway, and it's actually helping themselves get to the 15. So they're kind of in this very cushiony area where they have players to trade, and they have a star that wants to come there. And let me preface all these, because I'm going to go team by team. And let me preface all these by the Wolves are not going to get a one-for-one or like a necessarily even talent trade, because they're desperate. The owner was like, we're trading him. He's not coming to trading camp. We're 100% trading him. And when teams know that, they don't need to make the right offer. They just need to make the best offer that the Timberwolves are getting. So with that being said, I don't know how many teams, I mean, there's some teams on this list that are going to be desperate for Jimmy Butler, so they might give up more. But I don't know how many teams are going to give up too much for a player that, A is 100% going to get traded. Like, it's not a, you don't have to knock their socks off for the trade. Again, you just have to be the best trade. And B, like, if he's going to stay there, or like, it's a question of whether or not he's going to stay there. So for the Clippers, oh, and another thing with the Clippers is they're going to have a potential, they have the potential to have two max contracts next year available. So they can sign Jimmy Butler and sign another max star next year, and they're in LA. Like, every player wants to come to LA. So the trade that I thought might be good would be Tobias Harris, Lou Williams, and Gilgeous Alexander for Jimmy Butler. Now, Harris obviously is a, like, one of these, I think he's a player that that Thibodeau would really like. He reminds me a lot, actually, of Luol Deng. Just a solid player. Not amazing, necessarily, at one thing, but just a solid all-around player to replace Jimmy Butler. And then you have Lou Williams, obviously, replacing Jamal Crawford on their bench, being their go-to scorer. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a player that a lot of people love. And I don't know how much playing time he's going to get on the Clippers, because the Clippers obviously have an excess of guards. So why not trade him to the Wolves? He's going to do better for the Wolves. You don't need him as much anymore. And again, you get a superstar on the way back. You get someone, because the Clippers don't necessarily have that guy that you can put on all the media guides and all that. Now, if the Clippers were to do this trade, their starting lineup would be Patrick Beverley, Avery Bradley, Jimmy Butler, Danilo Gallinari, and Marcin Gortat. And obviously, when Danilo Gallinari gets injured, because he gets injured every single season, Luke Richard and Mbamute comes in. So if you have Pat Bev, Bradley, Butler, Luke, and Gortat as your starters, that is a hell of a defensive team. That is a defensive team that can go toe-to-toe, not offensively, but can go toe-to-toe with any team in the league defensively. Now, I started with the Clippers because if I was a betting man, I would put a bet that the Clippers are going to get him. Now, obviously, any team has a chance. And the reason why it's going to be hard for front offices to do this trade is, I'm sure the conversation is, what is the least we can give to get him? Because, again, the Wolves are 100% trading him. So if they're not going to get an even trade. So right now, all these teams are talking, what's the least we can give them to get Jimmy Butler? But, again, if I had to put money on it, I think he's going to the Clippers. And I think he's going to the Clippers real soon. Now, the next team is the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, I would say, so after the Nets, I think everyone else has an even chance of getting him, but I think the Nets and the Clippers are the top two teams that have a chance to get him. Now, the Nets are also in the same position as the Clippers in that they will have two max contracts next year. And people like, and one rumored star is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, it's been rumored that he'll want to play in New York. Obviously, everyone wants to play in New York. It's an amazing city. I know Brooklyn's not technically New York. It's New York. Sorry, I just get really mad when East Coast people think they're people. And the Nets have a solid cachet of young players to trade for Jimmy Butler. So with all these, I think the potential trade that I would seeing would be Damari Carroll, solid vet at the wing, he could start for the Wolves. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, really solid defensive wing. And for the third player, either Spencer Dinwiddie, who is an amazing backup point guard, who you can use as a chip later, because I think he's probably the most tradable guy in the entire league right now in terms of he doesn't have much of a role, and he's really freaking good. So if the Wolves want the trade chip, they can get Dinwiddie. If they want the talent, they could go for Caris LeVert. Now, would the Nets give up LeVert, Jefferson, and Carroll all for butts? Jimmy Butler? Honestly, it depends how desperate they are. Their GM, Sean Marks, he's a San Antonio Spurs tree guy. I don't know how desperate he is because they've been doing very calculated trades. But if I'm the Nets, I think Carroll, Hollis, Jefferson, and LeVert or Dinwiddie is not a bad trade for Jimmy Butler, and then hold out for that star next year. And if they did that trade, the Nets starting lineup would be D'Angelo Russell, Crabbe, Jimmy Butler, either Ed Davis or Kenneth Faried, and Jarrett Allen. So not necessarily a great team now, but definitely has the framework for a great team next year. So now we're going to go into the teams that are on the list of suitors, but I'm like 50-50. Like, I think they all have the same chance of getting Jimmy Butler. Portland Trailblazers was listed on that. And the thing with Portland Trailblazers is they're a very solid team, but they're not a championship team. And they're basically bringing back the exact same roster. And they kind of remind me of like a West Coast version of the Toronto Raptors in terms of they did well. They're doing well with the team that they have, with the core that they have. But they just can never take that next step. And I think once you have the exact same team for so long and you've kind of seen what's the most you can get out of that team, sometimes you just gotta shake it up. And Portland, actually, kind of like the Toronto Raptors in the San Antonio Spurs trade, Portland has a tradable right now star. So if the Wolves want a right now star, I think Portland's their best person to go for. Now, the trade that I was looking at is CJ McCollum, who has 3 years left on his contract and is 27 years old, Mo Harkless, and Al-Farouq Aminu, who are two very solid defensive wings, for Jimmy Butler and Gorgui Dieng. Now, taking on Dieng, because obviously you have to make the contracts. Oh, and by the way, all these trades I put in the trade machine and they worked, so all the contracts have to match up. So Dieng would be the, and Dieng's on a really bad contract. He has like 3 years left making, I don't know, like $40 million almost, or a little over $40 million, but he just has a horrible contract. So the Portland Trailblazers would be taking him on kind of to sweeten the pot and be giving up CJ McCollum. So if the Portland Trailblazers did this trade, their starting lineup would be Damian Lillard, Evan Turner, Jimmy Butler, Gorgui Dieng, and Yusef Nurkic. Do I think that's a great team? No. Do I think they're a champion contender? No. But again, sometimes you gotta just shake it up and see what happens. And I think Lillard and Butler is a better combo than Lillard and McCollum, just because Lillard and McCollum are so similar. And very, very recently, I think Woj just tweeted this out like an hour ago, is that the Cleveland Cavaliers out of nowhere have come up as a potential suitor. Now, when I first heard this, I was like, what do the Cavs have to offer? And then I looked a little more into it, because again, like I said earlier, it's not about what's an even trade. It's about what's the best offer the Wolves are going to get. So why the Cavs make sense? Woj obviously is saying they're involved. Dan Gilbert is, last time LeBron left, he was obsessed with creating a contender again. And I think he kind of wants to give Cleveland hope. Say, okay, LeBron's gone, but don't worry, I got this. I'm a solid team owner. I got you guys. And so I think he really wants to, and obviously he's been rumored to say that he wants to keep the Cavs a contender, or at least a playoff team, and that was evident by giving Kevin Love that huge extension. So the trade that I was looking at is Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., and Chetty Osman for Jimmy Butler. That would cut some cap for the Wolves and give them three solid young players. Not amazing young players. Nance has potential to be really good, and Chetty Osman actually does have potential to be pretty good. And Clarkson has the potential to be an average off-the-bench scorer who's young and has good legs. Not that he has good... You know what I mean. Like, he has endurance and stuff. Not that he has nice legs. But the starting lineups for the Cavs, if that trade went down, would be George Hill, J.R. Smith, Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. And while that's not necessarily a championship team in the East, I think that could be a top four team easy. A Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love combo wouldn't be bad at all. Now, here is the team that I pray gets Jimmy Butler. And that is the Houston Rockets. I know they're in my division, in the Lakers division. I know they're going to match up with the Lakers a lot. But I don't think the Lakers are going to beat the Warriors this year. And I really, really want someone to beat the Warriors this year. Not that much hate for the Warriors. I'm just tired of seeing them in the championship. And I really want Chris Paul to win a championship. And the reason why I think this could happen is Daryl Morey, the GM of the Houston Rockets, he's nuts. Like, he will do all... He's basically like a mad scientist trying to figure out all these trades, all these ways to get players on his team to give them the best chance to win. And obviously they have a need to replace Trevor Ariza, who was one of their best defensive players. Now, the trade that I have I don't think is that great of a trade, and I don't think the Warriors would accept it unless it's the best that they're being offered. But if it is the best that they're being offered, it could work. So the trade that I got is Brandon Knight, Eric Gordon, and Zhichi, or Marquise Chris, either one, whichever one the Wolves want, plus some picks for Jimmy Butler. Again, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know if Eric Gordon is that good of a get. I think Eric Gordon's amazing, but I don't know if the Wolves would accept that for Jimmy Butler unless it's the best deal that they're being offered. But if that was to be accepted, the starting lineups for the Rockets would be Chris Paul, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker, and Clint Capella. And hot diggity damn if that wouldn't be one of the funnest lineups to watch. Athletic, a lot of solid defenders on there. One of the best scorers in the league in James Harden, but like all players can score and all players can defend. So I would be so excited. So my fingers are crossed mostly for the Houston Rockets. And one final team I wanted to bring up is the Miami Heat. Now, the reason I bring up the Miami Heat is because Pat Riley is one of these guys who believes that any player he brings on will stay in Miami. He's a very confident guy. And Miami is obviously a destination city, so much fun for young players. And I think they have a potentially the best trade package to offer the Wolves if they are willing to give up this much for Jimmy Butler, which again, it's a risk because he might leave and they weren't listed on his team, but Miami, or on his list of teams he'd want to go to. But Miami is one of those teams that it's a destination city and they truly believe they can recruit someone to stay. So the potential trade that I have is Dion Waiters, mainly for contract reasons, Jason Richardson, and Justice Winslow. Now, Winslow hasn't really panned out to be as good as he was expected to be, but I think he still has a lot of potential. And sometimes young guys just need a change of scenery to reach that potential. And Josh Richardson is one of these guys who's just an all-around really solid guard. Good defender, smart player, good scorer, is one of these triple one guys who can get a three, a steal, and a block in a game easy. And if the Heat are willing to give that up, I honestly think that's the best deal the Wolves are going to get. And if they did do that, their starting lineup would be Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler's old teammate in Chicago, Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, James Johnson, and Hassan Whiteside. And that's one of those teams that doesn't really like scream, oh my God, what an amazing team. But it's just a bunch of hardworking players who in the East maybe could be top four. I mean, you can say any team can end up in the top four. But if the Heat were to have Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, and Hassan Whiteside as their big three, I think that's solid enough in the Eastern Conference to make a splash. So these are my Jimmy Butler takes of teams that I think he might go to, teams that might trade for him. And like I said, it literally could be any team because I have no idea what the Wolves are going to get back. They're in a full court press right now to trade him, and I don't know how much teams are going to offer. So maybe some random team, maybe the Detroit Pistons go all in and try to get him. Like it can literally be any team. But if I had to put my money on a team to get him, it'll be the LA Clippers. And if I could pick what team he goes to, like if I was a basketball god or whatever, I would definitely want him on the Houston Rockets. But we'll see. Honestly, maybe by tonight, maybe in a few hours, we'll find out. Maybe right now. Actually, let me check Twitter real quick. Let me make sure there hasn't been any crazy trades before, just because I want to post this online and then I don't want people to be like, oh my God, how could you not have seen that? Even though I highly doubt people would do that. All right, let's see. Jimmy Butler, any trades? Let's wait for Twitter to load. And it does not look like it's happening. But one big breaking news that just happened 15 minutes ago, New Orleans star Anthony Davis has signed with agent Rich Paul of Clutch. I'm so excited because LeBron James and KCP are both Clutch people. And if Anthony Davis can somehow find a way to the Lakers, and the Lakers can recruit Anthony Davis. Not recruit, but like LeBron James can recruit him, Rich Paul can recruit him. Oh man, that's super exciting news. So while we don't know where Jimmy Butler is going yet, breaking news, Anthony Davis signing with Clutch Sports. Woo! Sorry, I just got super excited. That's going to be awesome. I really hope he comes to the Lakers. But anyways, thanks for listening, guys. I'm hoping by next week I'll have actual basketball to talk about, maybe some preseason stuff to talk about. And yeah, until then, I'm Pasha Zulfagari. I'm an Iranian-American, and people like me deserve a place in this country. Have a great rest of your weekend. Sorry, tongue-tied. Have a great rest of your weekend, guys.